I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
How's it going, everybody, and welcome to the Audibly
Exquisite Podcast, episode 84. I'm Mike Dorn with
Peter Melnick.
And Peter Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What we're all about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And let's see, we are brought to you by the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Go to www.gunnageek.com for all sorts of geeky goodness for your ear holes. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. You can also find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast, myself at Peter Melnick.
And at Mike_Norin.
You can also find us on Patreon. Give us a little bit of your cash. Yes, I'm saying it just like that. Give us some of your money so we can help support this show, and we will give you content in return. Yes, content in return, and also the ability to guest on this here fine program. So for as low as $2 a month and as high as $50, you'll be able to help support this show through the tiered rewards program. Oh, and by the way, we're on Instagram at Audibly Exquisite. Let's see, also you can find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. You can also find us, let's see, what else do we do? Oh yeah, how you can listen to this show. Well, other than the moment you're listening to it right now, I mean, I think you kind of have a firm grasp of how you can listen, but there are other ways you can. So, you can find us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, and share. Be sure to tell your friends about the show, and believe me, when it's a review for this show, it actually helps out quite a lot, because it gives more of an audience for, you know, people to listen to, you know what I mean? Like, you go on iTunes and, like, Name one of your favorite shows out there other than this one.
Tell them Steve Dave.
You type in that show, you're easily able to find that, and also it shows up in other podcasts, like other related shows. So it helps out. Also, you can find us on a wide variety of streaming platforms, including TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic.
Did you say TuneIn Radio?
No, TuneIn Radio.
Oh.
And they're all available for all iOS and Android devices, so you can listen to them on your iPhone, your Android, your tablet, your whatever. I think you can even listen to us on an abacus. I'm not 100%. You know, the little thing with the beads that you move them?
You can.
It's possible. I mean, you can literally, you know, maybe like burn it on a CD or something. If you're into doing that, you know. Do people still burn CDs?
Literally or metaphorically?
Yes.
Yep, we can do that.
So yeah, you know, once again, you know, those are the different ways you can listen to this show. And yeah. So, Mike, how have you been?
Terrific. How about you, Peter?
I'm doing fantastic, you know, living the dream. What can I say? Living the dream, drinking some cream. Oh, God. Anyway,
that's nice.
Yeah. So, just a lot of, you know, stuff has happened in the last week. Kind of cool, kind of neat.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, there's some good. There's always got to be the good with the bad.
True.
But so let's start us off on the docket. Mike, let's go with the good first.
Okay. What about the ugly?
Well, we'll leave that with a bag over its head in the corner. So,
all right, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. But Marvel. I'm a big Marvel guy, you know this. We've always known this. You're a big DC guy. Seems one company has a lot on its plate getting ready, you know. We're getting ready for this, pulling up topics to discuss. In one of the articles we found on a website, it made me laugh. What was the topic title?
DC's cheating.
No, DC was getting ready for their slate of films. What's coming out in 2018? Definitely coming out in 2018, as it said.
Aquaman.
Man, you know, like, I don't mind this, but when you look at Marvel and they are so confirmed with everything, they have, you know, their big event at D23, yada, yada, yada.
They're like, yeah, we got movies until like next 10 years.
And you say that, you're not exaggerating, really, you know? They know what they're doing. They have, like you said, they probably have actors planned out for who, you know, if somebody kicks the bucket.
Or leaves.
Yeah, you know, they have that. They have, yeah, and actors leaving, boy, we may be talking a little, did we talk about that last week?
Speculation of Affleck leaving.
Okay, yeah, so, but anyway, going with Marvel, what does Marvel have planned? It's rumored right now in development, Namor the Submariner.
Wow.
You know, a lot of, you know, DC fanboys are going to be like, oh, well, you know, they're doing it because they're trying to copy off of Aquaman. Okay, but Namor was the first one. He was.
You're right.
1939 in the very first issue of Marvel Comics, so.
How funny is it going to be if they drop it, like, right when Aquaman comes out?
I think it would be funny if they've been filming this entire time and told no one. You can't do that in Hollywood nowadays, but man, how great would that be? Like, just a secret movie.
Yeah, we got Namor. Hold on. Here we go.
Because, I mean, shit, Prince got away with it for, you know, years. He's made movies all the time, and they never got released, and we never knew they were coming out. You never know. It could happen.
Maybe Prince is Submariner.
Maybe that's why he disappeared. He faked his death to become Namor the Submariner.
Hey, I'm Submariner.
And he's got, like, the little tiny platform shoes, you know, to make himself look taller, but he's still barefoot somehow. Does that make sense? No.
Rips out a freaking guitar solo in the middle of the ocean.
With that gigantic dildo-looking guitar he had, that was actually the symbol, the print symbol. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I like the idea that we're possibly going to get Namor. The fact Namor the fucking Submariner, really?
Can he fly?
He's got the little wings on his feet that I think he got from Red Bull, so he's got that going for him.
Red Bull gets you wings.
But yeah, I'm excited about the idea of a lot of these...
A Red Bull commercial is probably better than what DC's doing now.
Now, I still will give DC my support. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'll
me
still
too.
Give them a chance. But man, oh man, it's just such a friggin' bummer with some of the shit that they do. Like, it's... I feel like DC is Charlie Brown, and... The outcome of everything.
Well, remember that one comparison I made that we're going to
keep off mic? Let me finish. The outcome of everything is Lucy pulling the football away. It's every fucking
arg!
Time. Right? Am I like? I want to see these guys succeed because, again, as a fan of all this stuff, it's cool. It's cool being able to say who's going to be in a movie. Namor the Submariner. Really? What are we in? And like, you know. With what's it called? Powerless, the DC show on NBC. Look who they've been pulling out on there. Like, obscure fucking characters. Never thought they'd see those characters make the light of day, you know?
It's crazy.
Now, what was the comparison you were going with?
I'm not going to say it on mic, but remember that one I messaged you?
Yeah, I actually do remember. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'm not going to say what it is, but... Actually, if you follow, I think, my Twitter or my Facebook, either one, if you're on there, it's on there. That was Mike that said that we went with gospel. But anyway, I digress. Kevin Gill. So, you know, going away from Marvel Studios, but also still staying a little bit with Marvel in general, Patrick Stewart is going on saying, you know, they're asking him, is this going to be your final role as Professor Xavier in the X-Men movies? And he, you know, during an interview revealed that he's not going to be leaving the character. Like, you know, Hugh Jackman's leaving. But I'm not. He put up his, you know, goodbye flag. I didn't. I'm still here. You fuckers want me to go? No, I'm not going to leave. I'm fucking, you know, Professor Xavier. Come on, man.
Do you honestly think it's that difficult to recast Logan?
In a lot of ways, yes, because it is an example of this person became synonymous with the character. When you say Superman and you think of a live-action portrayal, who do you think of?
Chris Reeve.
Yeah, you do. It's hard to, you know, replace someone who... filled those boots or filled those sideburns, you know, into such an iconic role. It's really hard. That's why, like, I think in a lot of ways, like with Marvel right now, they, you know, they got rid of Iron Man, like, or not Iron Man, like, not got rid of him. You know what I mean? It's like that young 15-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is they made that just in case RDJ says, you know what, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So they can just plop her into the movies. And you know what? That's fine. They're going to do this because it's going to be a long time before, you know, an audience can forget a portrayal of a character.
And they just got insurance. They're smart, like I said, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, I think it's kind of funny because we have so many different portrayals of so many different characters over, you know, different adaptations, right? Like, you know, Sherlock Holmes, you have Robert Downey Jr. and you have Booty Dick Cucumber Patch. And
both good.
Yeah, both.
One's not even English.
Yeah, you know, and it's their portrayals were really impressive. They nailed what the character is. And they both have somehow found a way to become synonymous with the character, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you have that. It's hard. I'm trying to make a point here, but it's just cool to see, you know.
How funny would it be if when Strange and Iron Man meet, if Iron Man does like a fake English accent and he's like, you're terrible at English accents.
I made that joke before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I want to see that happen. I think it'd be so friggin' great. That or he meets, what's his name? Martin Freeman's character from Captain America Civil War and Black
Panther. You know they're going to make a no shit Sherlock joke to one another.
I hope so. I genuinely hope they do. Because they, you know, you have, if you're going to have those two characters cross over somehow in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
they have to say no shit Sherlock at least once to each other.
No shit Sherlock, or, you know, the whole, you know, wow, your British accent is terrible. Like, again, something like that, you know? I think.
Or at least make it a thing that Martin Freeman and, you know, Benedict, you know, work together on something. You cross each other.
I know you from somewhere. Oh, yeah, something like that.
Have we met?
We have met before, haven't
you? Apparently, yeah. I saw an article the other day. There's like Ant-Man reference in Doctor Strange.
I believe it. Yeah, because they always are, you know, going to find different ways to, you know, shoehorn in everything. But
apparently, James Gunn's saying there's an Easter egg in Guardians of the Galaxy that no one's noticed yet.
Again, that's one of those things I believe. I can see that happening because, man, that movie was like, it was a CGI fest, but there was like so much going on that you miss a lot of stuff. Yeah,
he was saying he laughs every time someone calls or, you know, points out they think they got it. And he says when he reveals it, everyone's gonna be like, holy shit.
That's awesome. I like the idea of, you know.
I'm gonna laugh if it's like a Silver Surfer cameo and nobody noticed it or something.
Do you think it could be?
That would be cool.
Like, I would love.
If it's just like such a. Maybe it's like really high speed, is like zips past or something at the speed of light and you don't see him.
The fact Silver Surfer hasn't been utilized in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because of all the rights bullshit is such a fucking bummer, man. Because there's, you know, just a lot of things they could do with that character that they're not going to do.
Next time we see the Fantastic Four, though, it'll be in the MCU.
Do you think so?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I guarantee you next couple of years we see X-Men in it.
Again, do you think so?
Yeah. We're going to see X-Men versus Avengers eventually.
I'd be down with that. I would really be down with that. Just because it would be fun. Because that's what these movies are all about. It's fun. You don't want to have something boring. You don't want to have... And I like how you look up because we're both thinking on the same fucking wavelength.
You don't want to take something that's totally wicked cool... Then be like, you know what? Let's not make it cool at all.
You don't want to take something really fucking cool and awesome, like a concept of two iconic characters fighting each other and having them have a rough and tough battle. You don't want to have that and fuck it up.
No. How could you do that? I mean, 5 years ago.
What are you going to do? Like have a random coincidence? They're going to bond over coincidence of,
you
know, names?
5 years ago, if you would have came up and said Batman v Superman. 84, episode 84 of the Batman v Superman podcast.
Yeah.
If you would have came and said that Batman versus Superman would have been a dud, what would you have said?
I would have been disappointed, like genuinely disappointed.
When you saw the first trailer, did you think it would be a dud anyway?
Not really. I just thought it was like, okay.
The first time you said, do you bleed?
Where are we going with this? What kind of ride are they going to take us on? Are they going to take us for a ride? Sorry, Marvel versus Capcom too. But anyway, you know, I like the idea.
Take a ride.
Like, it's such a hard concept to fuck up. And yet they did find a way. And it does, like, as a fan, it does bother me. It genuinely, like, and as a fan of, you know, just good writing, man, it bothers me.
It's not hard to write.
It's like, it was, when I look, I'm talking about this fucking movie.
Should we make a vow today?
Yeah, and we'll fucking break it 20 minutes into the next episode. So no, I'm not even going to make a vow.
I think we've done that before, Pete.
Yeah, we have. So I'm not
going to... Like 5 times we made vows not to talk about the movie.
Yeah, like we're never going to talk about Fight Club, Mike. Never. But anyway, you know,
It's not hard to talk to because literally every week there's something about this that
That is an interesting thing that, yeah, they, I've seen news articles
reference
it. Not
even fucking Force Awakens gets that much publicity still.
Yeah, it's very limited.
Maybe once in a blue moon you might see something about Star Wars, but we're still, there's still weekly, if not every other day, there's something about Batman vs. Superman or their franchise, Justice League, anything like it. And it's not good news, ever.
I mean, there's a lot of things I want to see discussed, you know, on these websites, and we don't get it. We just, yeah, we get, you know, Batman v Superman ad nauseum. I want an opinion piece on why Savio Vega should have won against Mabel at King of the Ring 1995, Mike.
Pete.
No one's going to do that article. I'm going to have to fucking do it.
I'm going to replace you.
So anyway, yeah, you know, speaking of, again, going back with replacement, you know, the whole thing with Patrick Stewart. Could you see any other actor other than James McAvoy right now playing the role of Xavier the way Patrick Stewart did?
Thing is, he played Patrick Stewart.
He played him different.
Very smart.
Why do you say that?
Like, not smart, like very
educated.
No,
I know what you mean, but yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like the professor knows everything, knows all kind of thing, like all-around good guy, humanitarian kind of thing, and it's not everybody can play that role.
Right.
You know, professor didn't care what you looked like, where you came from.
Now, are we talking about McAvoy or Stewart?
Both. They okay. both grasped that, that whole aspect of no matter how different you were, they still accepted you.
Right, yeah, I can totally see that.
And that's not a hard, that's a difficult thing to portray on in, you know, film, I believe.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense at all.
It does, it definitely does.
You have to have that compassionate side on you, in you, to be able to play that role.
And the funniest thing is...
And otherwise you're just going to be a bald guy in a wheelchair.
Like, it's kind of funny because, you know, there's always the trope about Xavier being a massive dickhead in the comics. Because he is, you know, as, you know, the comic issue was titled once, Professor Xavier is a jerk, you know? But my thing with that is they don't really utilize... They utilize it sometimes of Xavier being a dickhead, but not much. And it's smart. You don't want that. You want to have a compassionate character.
I also like how they portrayed the friendship between Magneto and Xavier.
Yeah,
they didn't dislike each other. It was just that they were like disappointed with each other's motives.
Yeah, totally. I can see that.
Like they still loved each other, you know, like brothers, yeah, like, but they're just like, I believe
it's
this.
It's literally like a civil war. One brother went with the North, one brother went with the
South. Yeah, or I'm Democrat, you're Republican.
Exactly. I'm not a Republican, but okay. So,
well, I'm not Republican either.
So anyway.
Well, you guys know what we are now. Now you know what we are. We know what you are, Michael.
We like Legos and Marvel.
We sure do.
That's an inside joke for another fucking day. So,
as I make a certain sculpt right now as we record.
Of Savio Vega. So,
yes.
Yeah, you know.
I'm not going for Christmas now.
So I think it's kind of funny that, you know, Marvel is doing so much stuff, you know, in the comic realm as well. Like, you know, they're gearing up for the Secret Empire event that's going to be happening where it's a big tie-in with every fucking book again.
Oh, boy.
Which is whatever. Like,
DC does it once a month, so.
DC does it carefully. They do it carefully. Try being a Marvel guy where, okay, here are the events I've had to deal with. Monsters Unleashed, Civil War 2, let's see, Secret Wars, the reboot from 2015. Like, that's within the span of over a year and a half, Mike. That many events.
They need to chill.
You guys are lucky, because you had, like, Convergence. You had Forever Evil. What else did you guys have?
Oh, that Forever Evil was a steaming pile of dog shit.
But man, like, what else was there, like, that you really have? You know, you have Convergence. You have Forever Evil, which is a steaming pile
honest,
of shit.
To be honest, Forever Evil is what killed me on it.
Really?
It just broke me. I was like, this is just fucking pointless.
But, like, I'm trying to think, what other events? Like,
I'm buying this book, just get a page of Green Lantern and being like, hey, guys, because that's a tie-in.
That's why that's why...
Then they do a way, like, if you don't get that issue, you literally don't know what's going on.
Right.
If you go back to Green Lantern, you're like, what the hell is going on? Because that one little cameo in that book makes a huge impact. But, like, Hal Jordan's back on Earth, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, I like... Some of the things that Marvel does, I don't like their constant rebooting of the number ones, but I understand why they're doing that, because every issue is a first for somebody, yada, 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 as I make the jerking off hand sign. But I think it's kind of funny that, you know, they're also trying new things. They'll, you know, cancel a run of a book and replace it with some different character, which, hey, whatever works. Like right now, you know what they're making? They're going to be doing a run of Baby Groot.
Really?
They're going to do a Baby Groot comic book, which I'm down with. I'm also
and
down.
Now,
with...
a lot of people are pissed because Baby Groot is in the movie.
Right.
Because they're saying it's just...
You can do a young Groot storyline.
No, they're saying it's just Marvel and Disney take the reins on that one. To
right.
To sell plushies and
yeah.
toys.
Can you blame them, man? Like, how much
but
money...
then again, have we seen the movie and made Baby Groot's only in the first 20 minutes and matures?
Eh. I mean, honestly...
I guarantee you it's not Baby Groot through the whole movie.
I think he is, to
really?
Be honest, yeah.
Want to take a bet right now?
I'm not going to... Well, $5 bet.
Okay, $5 bet. Guardians of the Galaxy, if Groot doesn't mature into a full-grown, mature, sexy Groot by the end...
I think he's just going to be... If he matures, he's not going to be full mature, because, like, look how long it's been, you know? I don't know. I mean, I think it's... Isn't it, like, a couple months after the first Guardians?
They said it picks up shortly after.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I'm still super, super, super excited for this fucking movie for one reason.
We might get a montage. Like a training montage of Groot growing up.
I could, yeah, just set to literally
we're
the song Montage.
Together.
Oh, no, I'm going Montage from Team America World Police.
That'd be funny.
But, yeah.
You see Groot and Rocket training together.
God. But, yeah, like, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, the upcoming Star-Lord cosplay that I'm planning on doing. Because I'm gonna rock the fucking Star-Lord jacket. And I decided I'm not getting the Star-Lord Guardians 1 jacket. I'm going all out with Guardians 2 with that little shoulder strap thing he's got going on. That
really?
Thing looks fucking badass.
The Mad Max jacket?
Yeah, right? Doesn't it? It looks so fucking cool.
And it's not hard to make, probably, either.
Yeah, I'll just get one off of eBay, to be completely honest. I don't give a
fuck
shit.
Fuck me, right?
I want a red leather jacket. You know?
I do, also.
So, As I've been losing weight, I've been, you know, like, tracking down, like, you know, leather jackets and shit like that. So it feels good.
You know those, like, 1980s wrestling jackets they always wear?
Oh, the satin jacket. I've wanted one for a long time.
I keep saying you and I need, like, audibly exquisite satin jackets to wear to cons.
Maybe one day, Mike. Maybe one
How
day.
How cool would that be if we show up to wear satin jackets?
It would be so
jackets?
Fucking embarrassing.
Really? You wouldn't do it?
I would not do it.
Well, I guess I know what I'm not getting you for East Coast Comic Con.
Mike.
I'll wear it myself then.
Mike.
Fuck you, Pete.
But anyway, I digress. So I just think, you know, I like what Marvel's doing with just they're taking chances on different things. They're taking chances on reinventions of characters, which I've noticed a lot of fanboys will bitch about. But hey, you don't have to read every book that comes out every month. So, yeah, there's that. Speaking of, you know, books that I actually really want to read, Chip Zdarsky's Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man. I cannot fucking wait.
Oh, yeah.
If you're out there near a local comic book shop, I recommend checking out his new Star-Lord comic book. It's 3 issues in. I think number 3 came out this week. It was a Zdarsky special you could have gotten this week. You had The Return of Sex Criminals at number 16.
Oh, it's returned.
Yeah, it came back finally because they wanted to, like, they stopped for a while so they could, you know, make it be monthly again.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, you know, every 5 months or whatever. You have a Zdarsky special with that.
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Same here. You have the Zdarsky special with Star-Lord number 3. And finally, you have the Zdarsky special with Doctor Strange Monsters Unleashed tie-in. So, and as someone who unintentionally ordered Monsters Unleashed, I've been enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the chance, give that a read. It's, you know, kid draws and he creates gigantic evil monsters out of, you know, his imagination.
Terrific.
It's pretty fucking cool. I like it. Like, I love stuff like that, you know? And plus, it's a 5-issue miniseries, so I'm fine with it being that short, as opposed to Marvel Civil War, which started at number 0 and was supposed to be a 7-issue mini and ended at number 9. So, that had that going for it. But yeah, I just think Zdarsky's going to be a really great fit for Peter Parker.
I really never got a Spider-Man comics in years and years, so, and this is to be, I guess, the one I jump back onto. No,
I mean, it's just a side comic, you know, because you also know why they're releasing a Spider-Man comic this summer.
Well, yeah,
so it makes sense. But I just find it funny. They have that much faith in Chip that they gave him a Star-Lord title as a Guardians of the Galaxy movies coming out. And they gave Zdarsky a Spider-Man comic as the Spider-Man comic Spider-Man movies coming out. So I like seeing that level of faith in someone like him. because he is really fucking funny, you know?
Just he, one of, he is funny.
He, and if you follow his, you know, Facebook, he's got like amazing stuff posted on there. If you see him on Facebook, or better yet, give him a follow on Twitter at Zdarsky, Z-D-A-R-K. Or fuck, I fucked up the man's spelling. At Z-D-A-R.
Key.
Sky.
Sky, yeah. Check out Chip Zdarsky. Google him.
I'm a fucking idiot today. God damn, I'm tired. But anyway, so... And I'm not editing that out because, you know what? Let the world know I couldn't spell Chip's name. And you know what? Tweet him today and say, talk about how I couldn't spell that man's name.
And ask him if he wants to come on the Audibly Exquisite podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Now he'll want to. But anyway, you know, I think it's kind of cool that, you know, that's happening. A chance is being taken. And then, speaking of things being taken, Matt Reeves took his ball and went home on the Batman. Did you know he was the new director? Since the last episode, it was announced that the new...
I saw rumors that he was.
I find it funny that last week we talked about Ben Affleck leaving the Batman.
Joel Manganiello possibly, most likely leaving.
And now this week, they announced that Matt Reeves is going to be the director of the Batman. Oh, wait. About an hour or two ago, as of this recording, it's right now 8:57 p.m. at night... He left the project. So, congratulations. It's grand opening, grand closing. So.
It's like the South Park meme. And it's gone.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
oh, we can make one tonight. You got here's your new director for Batman, and he's gone.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be making that as we're talking. But I think it's a bummer, man. It's like, you know, these people just like keep, they sign on.
It makes me wonder what in the hell is going on there. To the point where high-end directors and actors are just be like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, it's...
I wonder. I honestly wonder what the hell's going on there so bad that these guys are piecing out like this.
What I would say...
That the main role, Ben Affleck, is rumored to be leaving.
You know what I say it is? I think it's DC's creative control. I think they have too strong, way too strong of a grasp on all of this that they're handicapping what they want to succeed.
They don't know what they need.
I think it's very also, they just keep flip-flopping on ideas for this. And it's a bummer, man. Like, you want these guys to succeed. And as I said at the top of the show, you want DC to do good. You want them to do good. Because for us, it'll be great for us as the fans, the paying consumer who goes to these movies and says, oh shit, I really liked going to see that. I'm going to go to the next movie, and the movie after that, and the movie after that. And I'm going to buy the merchandise, and I'm going to buy the comics, and I'm going to get the DVD and the Blu-ray and whatever. You know?
It's mind-boggling.
It is
like, as we said in the beginning of the episode, they have all these resources, yet they keep striking out.
And it's a shame.
It's like having some of the best Major League Baseball players on your bench, and you're putting up Ray Charles at bat.
It's a good comparison. It's
you got Babe Ruth, Jose Canseco, Derek Jeter.
I thought you were going to say Hillary Clinton. I'm like, wow, yeah, I guess.
All on the bench, and you're like, all right, Charles, go up there and take a swing. Oh, wow, he missed.
What a shock, yeah.
Who would have seen that coming? Not him, because he's blind.
Or Stevie Wonder.
And Helen Keller. That's their lineup, going against, you know, the elites.
Yeah. Like Lou Ferrigno.
What's that?
You're a dick.
Hey, I'm not a dick. I can hear. Are you calling me that? I'm the Hulk.
Well, Mike, you don't have to worry about any deaf listeners being offended because, yeah. Well.
Or Lou Ferrigno, because he won't fucking be able to listen to us. Sorry. Not that he won't listen to us, he can't hear us.
So, anyway, right now it is it's not rumored.
How pissed are you going to be next time we go to and Lou's there and be like, I heard you guys were talking bad about me.
I heard that you were talking shit and you didn't think that I would hear it.
I'm gonna kick you guys' ass.
See, you know, this is where some people probably have tuned out.
And when people listen to, you know, give us press badges and they hear us bashing Lou Ferrigno for his disability.
My apologies. Anyway.
You guys think people. The same thing, too.
Anyway. Goddamn, Mike. So, speaking of offensive people... Mel Gibson is possibly going to be the director of Suicide Squad 2. Now, it was kind of confirmed this past week during a screening of Hacksaw Jim Duggan Ridge. He ended up revealing that, yes, he is in talks with Warner Brothers in regards to Suicide Squad 2. And they said, is it an intense meeting or what? And he says, it's kind of like a first date.
Wow.
So he's starting it. It literally just happened. We don't know what's going to happen. He could do it. And they have other directors lined up, you know, some other people who I don't know offhand. But it could be a big deal, you know, if they get him, because he's got the Oscar buzz right now for, you know, Hacksaw Ridge. Give him a shot, you know, maybe. But he is a piece of shit for all the things he said in the past. Oh, boy, is he a fucking piece of shit. So it's kind of hard, you know, to like it's.
Did he say sorry?
I don't remember, actually. I don't think he did. Because, like, he was blacklisted in Hollywood for quite a while. Like, he was doing, you know, not direct-to-DVD movies, but movies that just were complete clusterfuck duds.
Like Expendables?
No, I'm talking about before that. Because there was, I believe, The Gringo he was in. Oh, yeah.
You know who's doing movies like that now? Vince Vaughn.
Isn't that weird? Like, you see some of these guys, like, their careers just, like, fall off a fucking
cliff. Hi, I'm Hollywood Vince Vaughn. I was in, like, five funny movies between 2005 and 2010. Now nobody likes me.
I kind of liked Vince Vaughn at one point. I liked him in things like Swingers, Maid, what else? I liked his collaborations, for the most part, with Owen Wilson. Oh, wow. Wow.
I thought that was Ben Stiller in a mask. You know how Eddie Murphy sometimes plays different characters?
Yeah. He was playing alongside the Statue of Liberty in whiteface. So,
oh jeez.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just think Mel Gibson is a asshole, racist ass Melly Mel Gibson, you know?
I'm not gonna lie, if a racist can make a good DC movie,
isn't that fucking weird, man? The fact that you just said that and it's true. It's funny because it's true, people.
Look, you might be extremely racist, but if you can make a great DC movie.
I don't know how I feel about that from like a moral standard.
They're probably sitting around the room like, fuck, what are we going to do? Bring in the racist, Mel Gibson? Yes, Mel Gibson.
I just think it bums me out that, yeah, there's like that moral quandary. Like, okay, you're going to get a great DC movie. But
you're literally selling your soul to the devil.
I just don't know how I feel about that. You know, like, I do want to see DC make something good. They can do great things. Look at compared to Marvel, they have all their characters and they can make something great. So
please don't say the word great over and over.
I know. It's gonna be huge. So anyway, you know, I just think, you know, I don't know. It could be good if Mel does it. I keep hitting the table accidentally with my foot. Sorry, people, if you hear that noise, that is my big-ass foot hitting the big-ass desk. So, yeah. Anyway, so...
Going away from racists.
Could that count as a segue away from that?
Sure. Anything's a segue.
So DC Comics, people, if you are paying attention to what they're, you know, giving out to the people nowadays, they revamped the entire Hanna-Barbera line. Myself, I'm a big fan of the Flintstones, one of the by far darkest comic books I've ever read in the past, like, 3 years. And honestly, maybe one of my favorite comics I've read of all time. Like, it's in my top 10 at the very least, because it's that engaging and that funny. Well,
is that good?
I like it a lot. The first volume of the paperback, first, I think, 6 issues, is going to be released in March of this year. So you can, you know, be able to track it down. Or you can honestly just track down the copies digitally on Comixology. But I digress. So I just think it's kind of cool, you know. They're doing that for Hanna-Barbera. Another property they own that they will be doing a darker take on is going to be the Looney Tunes. They're going to be doing, you know, very darker portrayals that, yes, while funny, are kind of like black comedies in a way. You know, it's going to be like very gritty, something like that, you know, and like just depressing in a lot of ways. Like, you know, modern, you know, reinventions. Like how with the Hanna-Barbera line, they're doing Snagglepuss as a gay Southern Gothic playwright.
And a lot of people keep saying, well, what else is different?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, so I don't know. I think the idea, if they do this, they're also like, they're doing the fucking Banana Splits meet the Suicide Squad comic. That's a thing. That is a fucking thing.
La, 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 la.
And I will be reading that book when it comes out. I will admit that. I'm probably going to pick that up in my local comic book shop just because of the absurdity of it. You have that in the same pantheon as Archie meets the Punisher. Because that happened. It happened, people. 1994. O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Brown Smith. And, well, maybe killed Nicole Brown Smith. Sorry, people. And Archie met the Punisher. Welcome to the world we live in.
That
Enjoy
is
your ride.
Then they also did Kiss Meets Archie.
That's not that bizarre.
Yeah, you're right.
Compare that to the idea of, you know, literally Archie meeting a guy who has shot people in the fucking face. Just saying. But
a little extreme.
They're saying, you know, Tom King, the guy who writes Batman at the moment, they may be doing with Batman a meet-up of a character that you saw me post a picture on Facebook.
And everyone's in disbelief.
That's it. That's a, what I posted was whatever. It's like it was art by another comic artist, but this is like a couple of years ago. They're going to possibly be doing a Elmer Fudd meets Batman comic. Think about that for a minute. So, and you know, because Tom King was tweeting like dialogue of Elmer Fudd talking about the Wayne. The Wayne is whipping from the sky. I can't even do an Elmer Fudd right now because I'm that worked up. But yeah, I think, you know, what is a comic that seems so bizarre that you would love to see, or a crossover in anything, movies, television, comics, just see it happen?
Wow.
Wow.
Being that I've been on a big kick of them, I want to see an Earthworm Jim team up with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Now, I'd go with, like, something that, like, two flavors that don't mix at all.
Okay. So, Earthworm Jim and...
House of Cards.
The Punisher.
Maybe. And just
that's
like,
a little too extreme.
I'm trying to think of a good one. Since I said it, House of Cards meets Deadpool.
Earthworm Jim and Deadpool.
Well, that's I've always said if I ever worked for DC Comics or Marvel, I would try and be the guy that brokers a deal to bring either Deadpool meets Freakazoid or Deadpool meets Earthworm Jim. Like, find a way to get that done. I know, because Marvel used to do Earthworm Jim comics in the late 90s, or in the mid-90s, so...
You know he won New Character of the Year in 1994?
Really?
Yep.
Mike's looking up Earthworm Jim.
No, I knew that.
Oh, good. That's nice.
I'm reading our notes.
So anyway, now Mike, drifting away from the comics and going back to that galaxy far, far, far away, they just revealed the fate of a certain character that... Some of us, yeah, we have been wondering what happened to him.
Who's that be?
In the upcoming Star Wars novel, Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End, they reveal what happens to Jar Jar Binks. Now, if
can
you're
I
read
can I tell him?
Well, if you're going to read this book, earmuffs right now, or if you listen to the audiobook on audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite. Yes, I'm going to do a sneak attack with this. Well, sorry, audibletrial.com/audibly
exquisite.
You're going to be able to get a free one-month trial from thousands upon thousands of audiobooks to choose from. And the book I'm going to be listening to when it drops is Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End. Mike, you're going to be listening to that too. So I just gave you the book for free.
I was going to get Jaws.
Well, that too. But you can be able to go to audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite and choose from thousands upon thousands of audiobooks, help support the show, and...
Go to HJ.
You can cancel at any time. So...
Can I tell them? I want to tell them.
Now, if you want to read the book and don't want it spoiled, stop listening right now for about 20 seconds. Sorry. Stop listening right now. Mike, what happens to him?
He becomes a...
Like, essentially a street clown.
Oh, I thought he was like a prostitute.
No, like a street... He's like a street performer. And
he's a sucker for $10.
He's basically the one of the casualties of, you know, because he caused the Empire to be created, so it's his fault.
Damn.
So people are wondering, will he show up in the future movies?
And they said he's probably like a street clown, basically, like a street performer.
Yeah, so...
Can you imagine?
What I literally
like
just said
a
that.
Sad clown performance, like he's happy on the outside, but sad on the inside.
Oh, yeah, because look at what he caused.
He voted fucking Palpatine in. Because of him, Palpatine is in power. And he just...
I see the look in your eyes. You see the look in mine.
I wanted to make the galaxy a better place. And he was like, yeah, this guy's a little extreme, but you bring him in, surely he can fix everything. You know, yeah, he runs his mouth, but he says what we're all thinking about the galaxy far, far away. But let's give him a chance, though, you know?
Oh, shut up, butthole mouth. Anyway. So,
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I mean, what does he thinks? What does Kevin Smith thinks?
Speaking of Kevin Smith thinks, he's thinking about directing a Spawn spinoff.
No, he's not thinking of it.
He is.
He's going to be directing...
Well, he's probably thinking what he's going to do in it now.
BBC America is going to be releasing a series real soon, evidently within the next year or so, called Sam and Twitch, and they're the two cops in the Spawn universe.
Are they guys... Do they live, like, in hell or something with
no,
Spawn?
No, no. They're, like, people, I believe... I think Spawn takes place in New York City, if I'm 100%.
Wasn't hell he was in?
No, there was probably issues where he was in hell.
In the
no
movie,
doubt.
What's that rundown place he's in?
I don't know. I didn't watch that fucking shit fest.
Is it Detroit?
I don't fucking know. Well, probably if that's a shit fest.
Also,
yeah,
remember
probably.
The worst part is that fucking clown eating maggots.
But anyway.
Off pizza.
Kevin is going to be directing episodes of the Sam and Twitch series for BBC America. Finally, he gets to direct his own show, so that's kind of cool.
So this is going to be his whole series he's doing by himself.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I think it's going to be a neat idea. I'm a big Spawn fan, and I really, really, really hope it happens.
Me too.
I mean, you know, there's a lot that, you know, they could utilize with these characters. Now, if it's going to be set in the Spawn universe, is Spawn going to show up? Because you got to have the character fucking show up.
I wonder if they're going to do the old, what about that one guy with the cape?
I don't know. I mean, like, Spawn is tied close to Sam and Twitch as well, so who knows? You never know. Who knows? Only the Shadow knows. So, or Spawn.
Can you imagine a Shadow TV series?
I'd watch it. I think that would be a great idea. The thing is, will it happen? Will it blend? Who knows?
Well, if people ever listen to us and actually tweet DC and tell them about our ideas, we'd be in business.
And, you know, speaking of different TV shows, by the way, one TV show made its grand return this past week, The Walking Dead. Mike, you watch the show. You're a Walking Dead enthusiast, along with being a dinosaur enthusiast.
Don't tell my secrets. Anyway, it came back on a... It was a positive episode, should
I
say.
Did anything actually happen?
It said that it was a table setter. Nothing drastic happened. Last clip, spoilers, it shows...
Nothing Jurassic happened?
Rick go to this little compound area, right?
Right.
And he's surrounded by a couple hundred people with guns drawn and everything. And all of a sudden, a guy in a hood comes up and you see Rick smile a big. Like, first time you've ever seen Rick smile in, like, seasons. And cuts to black, goes to credits.
Was that really all that happened?
Basically. A lot of running around. Trying to recruit people for the army, and that was it.
Wow.
That was their mid-season premiere.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah.
Like, I get why they do that, because they want to surprise people, like, you know, pull the rug from underneath them. I get it. I get why they do that stuff. I think it's fucking stupid.
A lot of people are saying they're going to kill Negan off.
Go for it. Fucking kill the guy. I don't give a shit. Do it. Do whatever, you know?
But I don't see it happening, because what's going on in comics... He's too vital now. You know what I mean? It's like the arc that he just hit in the comic books. Are you still reading?
No.
Basically, him and Rick are buddies now.
Dude, Andrea is dead in the TV show, yet lives in the comics.
Yeah.
He can do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
You're right.
But the thing is this. I think he will live in the comics and in the TV show for a while, for the foreseeable future, because they're making a merchandising bonanza with that fucking guy.
They're going to keep Jeffrey Dean Morgan there long time.
They have multiple versions of the Negan baseball bat that they've released over the years. Like, it's a fucking sports car.
Well, you know why he calls it Lucille, right? After his wife?
Right.
Well, in the comic recently, his bat broke, and he gave the bat a funeral, and he broke down and started crying.
Wow.
And he said, I'm so sorry what I did to you. I can't believe I left you behind.
So, meaning, really,
talking about his wife, yep.
Wow.
Then, I guess, he had a heart-to-heart with Rick about how he apologized for killing Glenn.
Yep. Wow.
But who knows? AC Negan's so fucking crazy that it could just be this elaborate scheme for him to make Rick lower his guard and bash his fucking head in.
And a lot of people over the years have, you know, speculated whether or not they'll kill Rick off.
Who dies first? Negan or Rick? Imagine that.
Yeah. That's one of those, if I had to take a pick, I'd go with Negan, to be honest.
I always like the debates, the governor versus Negan debate.
Oh, imagine that crossover. Like, you know what I mean?
I think Negan would take over.
I think that would be an interesting idea, but it's... Man, like, I would love to see the two cross paths, like, in a flashback comic or something.
Robert
or, like,
Kirkman once said jokingly after this series ends, he would like to go back and revisit certain scenes at Ultram, like have a scene where Rick actually gets his hand chopped off, or, you know, the governor doesn't die, Rick dies, and see what happens from there.
Right.
That would be cool. But I don't think he would actually do it. It'd be too much waste of time.
It'd be nice.
It would be cool to see. Apparently, they shot. They did shoot footage of the governor chopping Rick's hand off.
Really?
Yep. And they, I mean, it was just deleted scene. They said there's a lot of deleted scenes that actually, you know, comic deleted scenes, he calls them.
Right.
And he says when the series is all done, that's when you guys get to see him. Because I guess in an interview, someone asked Robert Kirkman and said, did you guys ever consider shooting a scene about Rick losing a hand? He goes, we actually shot that scene. But, you know, we didn't use it, obviously.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's the thing I like about Robert Kirkman. He's such a unique guy with what he does, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a fan of the stuff. He knows how to produce. Imagine him doing a DC movie, like Batman.
I think more Marvel, more because of the fact that was where he really got his big break in the industry. I think he would go back to Marvel, because think about it. He made one of Marvel's biggest money makers in the comics, Marvel Zombies. You know, he was the one
who loves zombies, doesn't he?
Well, it's for him, I guess it's, you know, what he really, you know, he gravitated towards.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think at the end of the day...
People shit on him a lot, though. I like...
I understand why they do, because it is like... The thing with The Walking Dead, it's a comic that should have ended around the 100th issue.
Yeah.
And it's still going. And don't get me wrong, again, I do like the comic. But...
You know what? Fuck
I it. Dropped it. You know,
he's
I stopped
making
reading.
Money. He's apparently happy making his money.
Yeah, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
And he says he knows how it's going to end. He even went and said that Walking Dead's going to end on a good note. He goes, every single zombie movie always ends on, you know, oh, I'm the last guy, oh, but I got bit. Or I'm the last guy, look, all of a sudden here comes 100 zombies, you know, out of nowhere. Walking Dead will end on a good note.
I'd like to see it end with the people, you know, finding a cure. I think you have to fucking do that, because also... That's what people don't expect to see.
They said rumor is that Walking Dead is a story told by Carl as an old man, like in a journal. One rumor is that the last, very last scene is going to be some kid reading a book, and it's going to be called The Walking Dead. And it's going to be like a novel written by Carl Grimes, like a biography. And it's going to be like in the future, like 200 years in the future.
So they go back to the future?
They go back to the future.
Great Scott, Marty.
But can you imagine that? All some people are watching this, and all of a sudden it cuts to black, and it's... Some kid in futuristic clothing, the world's being totally rebuilt, everything's all futuristic, and he's reading a book by Carl Grimes.
I think that'd be cool, honestly. They would, you know, definitely pull off just something really, like, what number do you think The Walking Dead will end at? Do you think it'll...
like, what, one or
70-something at least.
I see 200.
I do, too, to a degree.
And they can always reset.
I think in a way he's not ending it because Eric Larson hasn't ended Savage Dragon. They're over 220 issues with that book.
Jeez.
So I have...
Then again, Superman originally went to like 900 issues, right?
Well, Action Comics is at like 900 something now.
Are you going to get 1,000 issue?
When is it supposed to happen soon?
I don't know. But when it does.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Cause, I mean,
has
the first
any comic ever done that made it to 1,000?
Honestly, mostly Japanese publications, you know.
Is it truly 1,000, though? Superman?
Like, yes.
No 1,000?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool, you know, to be able to see that. The idea of, you know, a number 1,000.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big hot... Well, you know what? They're going to advertise it like it's a hot seller. It's going to be Death of Superman all over again.
Oh, God. So now, before we go and wrap this program up, Mike, the... Nintendo Switch is going to be making its debut within the next few weeks, courtesy of Nintendo. And somebody actually recently on NeoGAF, they posted footage of what the interface looks like. You know, they like set it up and everything.
It looks great.
I think it's fantastic. I think the idea of, you know, Nintendo continuing minimalism in terms of their overall design.
I think that's what they had to go back to, well, essentially.
The thing is this, it's still a complex system, and like they never really drifted away from minimalism, but they utilized it to even larger degree with this system, you know?
What do you think caused Nintendo to fall off in the first place back in the past couple of years?
With the Wii U? Well, they didn't really fall off in terms of mobile handheld gaming, like yeah. the 3DS. Like, 3DS always sold
well. Home games.
Yeah, home consoles. I would have to say how complicated it was to fucking use that stupid fucking Wii U.
Yeah, and they would, like, take games, for example, X-Men Origins Wolverine, and they made, like, the version of it for the Wii, and it was just...
No, I'm talking about the Wii U.
I'm sorry, I was talking about Wii.
I'm talking about the Wii was fine. There's a reason it's considered the best-selling console of all
really?
Time. Yeah.
Some games on it were just dog shit.
But because you might have played the crappy games, you got to look around. You got to play, like, you know, the Nintendo games. You got to play.
I didn't play Wolverine on any other system for a while because I only played it on the Wii.
Yeah, you have to look around. Like yeah. on the PS3 and Xbox One or Xbox 360, it's a great game.
Yeah, you're right.
But it depends on, you know, the developers, like certain development teams.
Surprised they didn't give us another Logan game or anything.
I mean, honestly, they're very hesitant, I think, with the the X-Men license. They don't want to, you know, utilize it because that's giving Fox money. On the opposite end, they're doing a lot of merchandise. Like, for crying out loud, I left an FYE recently with an Archangel pop vinyl. Archangel, yeah.
Which one?
The blue, like, skin with the...
really?
Pin, yeah.
Like the Apocalypse version?
Yeah. So... Jeez. This is the world we live in where that merchandise is happening. You know, you're seeing the little blind box X-Men figurines. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very slippery slope. And I think also they want to put the license in the proper hands. Although I actually just realized why that didn't happen. At the time, a game would have come out now. Mm-hmm. That was when Disney Studios was controlling the Marvel licenses. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't have happened. Although... I think if Disney Infinity 4.0 had come out, which it was supposed to, we would have seen X-Men characters involved, because as we did an earlier episode, they were going to be in the game. We were going to have Deadpool, we were going to have Wolverine, we were going to have Gambit, Rogue, everybody.
What a shame.
It is a shame, but in all honesty, it's sad, man, going into like a Walmart or a Toys R Us or a Target and seeing like a gigantic wall of nothing but Disney Infinity figures that no one's buying. It's all that plastic going to no use.
You're right.
And I will admit, I've recently pondered buying it because the game is $20 with, you know, the starter kit with
really?
Anakin. Yeah, it's with Anakin and a female Jedi whose name I can't recall offhand. It's not Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be. It actually might be Ahsoka.
I would laugh if it was Ahsoka. I was like, Pete, we literally just talked about it last week.
But anyway, yeah, I just think, you know, the idea of... some of this stuff is just, it's a bummer. And going back to the you know, Nintendo Switch, I'm digging this. I think it's going to be cool that we're going to see, you know, the next evolution in gaming. I mean, I think it's...
You still remember when the 64 came out and playing Super Mario on that for the first time?
I never really cared for Super Mario 64, but the game that, you know, blew my hair...
I died every time because I didn't know what to do.
The game that blew my hair back, I have to say, is Star Fox 64. You know, going into a Sears, buying a pair of Capri jeans... And just getting excited, you know, in husky size, too, because I was a fat kid.
My game on 64 was Jet Force Gemini. You ever heard of it?
Yeah, of course. That's, you know, it's considered one of the most underrated games by Rare.
Oh, God.
And the funniest thing, you can actually play that on the Rareware collection from Rare for the Xbox One. So you can
actually play it
in HD. You didn't know that?
No, I love that game.
But you can't get it for your PS4. So.
Only beat it once.
So you're going to have to, you know, maybe you can, you know... You never know. You may be able to play it again one day. We don't know. But anyway, so before we go, Mike, how can people get a hold of us? I'm going to clap with every single fucking thing I say, every goddamn syllable. Mike.
Pete, we have people sleeping in the house.
We do. So anyway, first off, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/...
Audibly Exquisite.
Give us a like ski on there. You can also find us on the Twitter at... The AE podcast, okay. Mike. The AE podcast. Believe me, if we could, we would.
I'm thinking of switching my Twitter handle.
Really?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm at Peter Melnick yourself.
As of now, Mike_Norn.
Well, at Mike_Norn, yes.
At Mike_Norn.
And let's see, you can also find us on Instagram when we use it, at Audibly Exquisite. You can also support the show through a tiered variety program, patreon.com/...
audibly exquisite.
And for as low as $2 a month and as high as $50, you can help support this here fine program. Let's see. Also, you can find us on the worldwide interwebs, listen to old episodes at audiblyexquisite.com. So now, also, rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes, and you can listen to us on a wide variety of streaming platforms. You can find us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic, and whatever podcast apps you use, it's probably on there. So, for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
For Mike Noren, I'm John Hancock.
Have an audibly
exquisite week. Thank you.